from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I am constant as the Southern Star.
At Northern.
Whatever.
That's how constant you are. You don't even know, man. If you're going to quote your Shakespeare, you better know what you're talking about.
Constantly clueless.
Constantly freaking clueless.
Good thing, right. This is not a science podcast.
We have been criticized in the past of not being accurate enough, which I think is a fair criticism. We really don't like to do research. We, in fact, stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
We figure, you know what? You want some research? Yeah, go to Skepticality. Go to all these other guys. They're great for research. But you know what? They are boring. They will bore you. All right. Today on the show, we're going to talk about Ben Stein. We're going to talk about principals who like to out their students to the general public. And we're going to talk about Russia getting back to its old tricks. And, of course, the rant and the stupid person of the week. So, first up, let's talk a little bit about Ben Stein, who thinks that science kills people. Now, here's pretty much what the article is about. Ben Stein has been in the news recently due to his new movie that he likes to think is a documentary called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, was recently on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, claiming that science leads people to kill other people, apparently. In an interview with Paul Crouch Jr., Stein said, and I quote, "Love of God and compassion and empathy leads you to a very glorious place, and science leads you to killing people." Crouch said, "Good word, good word." Now, if you don't know anything about Paul Crouch, which I don't think you do.
No.
Neither did I. I had to do a little bit of research about this guy. He's the Trinity Broadcasting Network is a giant network with 12,000 affiliates all over the place. They reach 100 million homes worldwide, which is a lot. It's a few more than us.
So what do they play? Play the rock music?
No, they pretty much just constantly tell people the rapture's coming.
Nice.
And what's funny about this is that, you know, like, well, it's not just funny that Ben Stein goes around telling people that, you know, scientists will kill you, but also the fact that if you actually look at some stuff that Paul said on his broadcast, he once in 1997, he had a commentary to a lot of the people that were, I guess you could call detractors, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Here's a quote from him, which I thought was really very revealing about the type of show he likes to run. "God, we proclaim death to anything or anyone that will lift a hand against this network and this ministry that belongs to you, God. It is your work. It is your idea. It is your property. It is your airwaves. It is your world. And we proclaim death to anything that will stand in the way of God's great voice or of proclamation to the whole world. In the name of Jesus and all the people, say amen."
Now, here's a question.
Yeah.
Did we have to go all the way back to 1997 to find something really cool and offensive that he said? Because if that's the case, that's actually pretty impressive.
No.
Like, I mean, if you want to, if I know there's lots of Christian listeners out here, and I'm just wondering maybe if we get around the Christian radio networks, they talk about these atheist podcasters. You think they probably only have to go back a week to find something really offensive that we've said?
I know, but we don't claim on being not offensive. We don't make that claim. It's not like, you know, the unoffensive atheist.
Mm-hmm.
You can be good and still be pretty offensive. I think that's actually what people describe me as. Is that true?
Offensively good?
No, just good, but also very raw and offensive as a human being.
An excellent tubular jerk.
That's what tubular?
Tubular. I'm taking it back. I'm bringing that word back.
You are bringing it back.
In the word of Jesus Christ and of the church, people said amen.
Amen. I said amen to you. Okay, first off, what do you think about this this whole Ben Stein thing? We're not going to review the movie yet, but I want to get your view on what he said about in that quote.
Wasn't that a whole, like, just a part of it where he was also talking about, you know, science and the atom bomb and this and that and all of these horrific things that science have done?
I don't actually recall the interview being about the specifics. He likes to refer specifically to the Holocaust. Because he says, well, it was scientists that led them to the gas chamber, assuming that they all graduated from, Hitler U.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where these guys come from. But he's utterly convinced that the Holocaust was caused by Darwinism, which is an offshoot of
science. Yeah, but I mean, if he says that, then shouldn't we be allowed to say that the Crusades were caused by... Oh, wait, we do say that.
Whoops! well, we wouldn't exactly...
Explain to me this. I mean...
Riddle me this, Jacob.
I'm not going to say that he has a point, but the man has a bit of a point.
Science
is used a lot of times for extreme evil.
Well, you know, you have to understand that it's not a scientist who comes up with a theory or a scientist who comes up with an interesting new tidbit doesn't really care about what we do with it. These are technologists, okay? A person who, for instance, if you uncover the secrets of the neutron, all right, you're not literally trying to make a nuclear bomb out of it. Mm-hmm. You're just discovering a new particle.
Mm-hmm.
Those principles can then be used for it. I won't deny that.
Used by all sorts of people, be they fundamentalists or Christians or atheists.
Right.
Or...
But, you know, these people, they tend to be politicians or, you know, religious leaders, civic leaders, these kinds of people. I mean, have you met a scientist? I mean, these guys couldn't even convince you to, like, go drinking with them,
mm-hmm.
let alone, you know, kill 6 million Jews.
I just find it interesting that Stein said this kind of stuff and that Stein is involved in this Expelled movie because, I mean, I've always thought, you know, I remember Ben Stein from his TV show. His game show, and plus even from back before that. I grew up with him watching Wonder Years.
Yeah.
So, at this point, I got to say, maybe I'll hold it off till I see Expelled, but at the moment, I'm on the edge. I'm just putting you on notice, Stein, that Eugene Levy is going to replace you as my favorite Jew. Just putting it out there.
He was your favorite Jew?
I don't know. I haven't really put that much thought into it.
Yeah,
there's just so many Jews that I like.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, they're everywhere. They control the money. all right, let's move on to the next one. Because basically, I want to talk more about Ben Stein next. I'm trying to find the damn movie, really. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to pay for it. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you want to pay for a piece of crap?
I actually, you know what? I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind just putting the money down and going to see it legitimately so we could say that.
I would say, like, the Dollar Theater, honestly. Like, I don't want to pay $10 out of my hard-earned money to give to Ben Stein, of all people. I mean, anytime you give these jerks
money, you want to... I'm advocating piracy. You think it is moral to steal from these guys because you disagree with them?
Well, only because I'm reviewing it.
How about this? If you disagree with them, you should bash them in the face with a baseball bat. I like that idea.
What is this, the moral equivalence here?
I'm just saying.
Did the movie and record industry finally get to you that if I download a song, it's like I bash an artist in the face with a baseball
bat? You know what? There's a very big difference between downloading a song because you just don't really care that much about it and you want to hear it once.
Well, let me ask you this question.
And downloading it so you can screw over the creator.
I'm going to turn it on your head. If you wanted to listen to a song, right? Mm-hmm. But this song was an anti-Semitic violent song, but you wanted to hear it to see what it was about. Would you want to give that artist a dollar so he could continue his tirade of hate? Fuck that!
Touche, my friend.
All right, that's
good,
what I'm saying.
Good point. You win. You win that round, but I will get you back by the end of the show.
You may get me round number two. Okay, mm-hmm. Round number two is a...
You're wrong! Showed you.
Ouch. Okay, a principal in on a crusade to outer students in Memphis, Tennessee. The attorneys of the American Civil Liberties Union say Daphne Beasley... I don't know. That name makes me want to laugh.
Yeah.
The principal of Hollis F. Price Middle College High School in South Memphis went way beyond her role as an educator when she's accused, apparently, of publicly posting the names of the students, including two boys. I'm not going to say the names of boys because who cares? Who had started dating. The ACLU says that in doing so, Beasley revealed their relationship to other student teachers and even their parents. And she was asking other teachers to participate in this, get her names of students so she could keep track of them, so on and so forth, in an attempt to shame and discourage their behavior. What do you think about that?
Wow, newsflash. Principals are idiots. What? So surprising. And this
does she not have some better to do? I don't know. Like, what about the fact that in the schools, your children are retarded because they're learning nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, 23% of students in Detroit can't even pass the basic exams.
But here's the thing. You can't put that on the head of the principal because the principal is one of those figures that used to have power, but really now it just doesn't. I mean, it's just one of those jobs that you get because it's cushy and you don't really have to do anything and you just get to be a tyrant if you want to.
There might be a good reflection of the fact that nowadays schools are pretty much run with the parents be like, why did you kick my kid out? He's failing. Be like...
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, your kid is an idiot. Be like, you should pass him. Okay, fine. He passes.
I mean, because basically, look at this. This principal has responded to the idea that the kids are stupid and they're doing drugs and they're making sex in the bathroom. So she's like, I want to post up a list of all these people who are dating so that my, the teachers can keep an eye out for them and their nookie and all that good stuff. And that was the general idea. I don't know.
You don't know if it was necessarily.
I think it was
any
stupid.
Malicious.
Yeah, I think it was stupid. But she probably. I mean, if these kids are known around the school in general to be gay, I probably think she just included them on the list because if she didn't, it would seem discriminatory. It's one of those funny things where political correctness blows up in your face.
Blows up in your face, and then the ACLU is all up in your ass.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always interesting to hear these stories without actually hearing from the person. I mean, there's no doubt that it was a stupid idea. I mean, quite frankly, I remember back in high school where they had that you're only allowed to hug for 3 seconds rule, and I'm like, what an impractically
stupid. I like to hug.
And you know what? Those people that instituted those rules moved on now or in frickin' setting up like terrorist guidelines in the airports and everything, and it's just like, oh, the stupidity that is growing in this world because people don't understand the practicality of enforcing rules and they just create these rules that turn everybody into, you know, guilty parties.
It's as soon as you create a rule, you create offenders. Mm-hmm. And this is always the funny thing about rules. I mean, rules are basically designed to punish those that would break it anyways. Mm-hmm. But the people that don't break it have all of a sudden all of these rules that they have to remember, these laws that if they want to, in an innocent way, just ignore because maybe I want to hug for 4 seconds. All of a sudden, I'm a criminal, Ryan, because mm-hmm. I wanted a hug. Okay, so I get your point. Maybe she's not doing it on purpose, but I don't know, man. Tennessee, I don't know Tennessee personally, never been there. Memphis, I mean, are they open towards that kind of thing? Or is this more of a sabotage thing? Maybe this kid didn't tell their parents. Maybe it's not her duty to out the kid for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. No, I mean, I say there's no denying for me that it was a stupid thing.
Very stupid. We're agreed on this stupid thing.
But, again, I don't want to put too much of a harsh stance on it just because, I mean, you got to imagine that the American Civil Liberties people are being level-handed. But at the same time, you've got all those organizations. Like, think of all the times that something innocent happens and one of these special interest groups latches onto it and blows it into this big, ridiculous scandal that it's not. So it's like, is the Civil Liberties Union going to, is that what they're doing in this case? Are they trying to, you know, get their edge in there on the gay rights thing just off this unrelated thing?
Well, you're right. I mean, you have to wonder, is this really about the situation or is this somebody just politicizing this so that they can make a career out of it? Mm-hmm. I remember actually I watched a really funny cartoon, Boondocks, and they were showing Ann Coulter, who's
that
like...
That show is racist.
It was, but I enjoyed some parts of it where they had like Ann Coulter and she was all, you know, like... behind the scenes, like had a black boyfriend and all this other kind of stuff, and she was just like, "Oh, I'm just doing it for the money." And then, and he was showing the other side too, where like this sort of like black leader was trying to condemn her, but they were all working together. I thought it was kind of a neat little exaggeration, but not necessarily untrue. Where people feed on this kind of stuff. I mean, even the ACLU. I mean, they might be feeding on this as well. It's just mm-hmm. an issue where one idiot person and one unfortunate individual merged together to form a sensationalist piece. Mm. And who's really the loser in all of this?
Well, I mean, obviously this Beasley chick is probably not having too much of a good time. But here's the question: is it worth it in the long run? Just so the ACLU can get in there and make sure that gay kids aren't being outed by their crazy fundamentalist gay bashing peers and teachers.
Sometimes, unfortunately, you do have to make an example out of things.
Oh, you gotta break a few eggs.
You gotta break a few goddamn eggs. It's freaking true. I mean, it's just. Do you let it slide, or do you kind of say, hold on a second, not your business? And you know what, in a sense, I really don't think that beyond people doing some really improprietary things, I mean, you know how it was in high school, people calling themselves girlfriend or boyfriends, I mean, most of the time it didn't freaking matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just them holding hands, and 2 weeks later they're like, we're going to stop holding hands, we're no longer dating. Of course,
man,
times are different.
Yeah,
times are different
times
now.
Are
I know.
Very, very different.
I'm like, why wasn't I a freaking teenager years ago?
So out of date, man. It's like the teenagers now, pardon my French, they are fucking machines. Absolutely out. It is insane. If you have kids that are teenagers right now, I feel bad for you, son, because they is doing bad things.
I know, but you know what? That's
dirty things.
We just hear the worst of it. But I tell you what, I got cousins that are teenagers. I mean, they couldn't get laid if you put a gun to girls' heads. And it's just,
What? I'm going to blow that little statement out of proportion. I'm going to put that in a quote, send it to Ben Stein, and he can use it against you.
Ben Stein. Fuck that guy. All right, you know what? I'm done with this issue.
Okay.
I'm done with this issue. We're going to move on to the next one, which is Russia moving back to its anti-Semitism roots. I mean, if you have a little bit of that sentimentality to the old days, here's one that should warm your heart. In the last months, 19 members of the parliament threw their support behind a letter to the country's prosecutor general claiming that a centuries-old Hebrew text incites violence. The letters compared Judaism to Satanism, accused Jews of ritual murder. It also called for all Jewish organizations in Russia to be investigated and banned. Now, obviously, lots of anti-Jewish feelings remain, particularly because although I'm sure there were 90 members that threw their support, there were probably also more that were like, maybe I will later.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, some Jewish lobbyists got the letter to be removed, but temporarily removed.
The fact that, I just want to step in on this one here, okay. In that the fact that this one here really upsets me. The fact that 19 members of parliament in Russia can put forward a letter talking about basically ousting the Jews by any means necessary is just outrageous. And the fact and the irony of this whole situation, it was on the same weekend or around the same period of time where Putin or whatever, he's gone now, who cares, Mr. last week, well, I mean, he's still pulling the puppet strings, but he was replaced by the new guy.
Sure.
Anyways, he was over in Germany, he visited Auschwitz, and he said publicly, I am ashamed of what happened to the Jews. And anti-Semitism is terrible, and we will fight against it. And now you got 19 members of the goddamn parliament. This is what this guy here controls. It's like every time they disagree with him, he melts them. He's like dissolved, gone, goodbye, take a hike. And now these guys are like, we think Jews should be. And it's like, well, that's not a good idea. Let's just, it is unbelievable.
What's crazy also is that one of the MPs who signed the letter went on TV to deliver like this anti-Semitic rant, and there were 100,000 respondent viewers,
mm-hmm.
and
it was like Russian Idol. Yeah, except it was all about standing up and just talking about really hateful shit.
You gotta kind of wonder, I mean, it's like lighting a match, how much it would take for the you know, Russians just go ape shit on a bunch of Jews. Just ape shit.
Here's the whole thing about it, though, is once again, you got to put things into context. It's like, we're like, how could Russia be like that? But then you come over to America and you're like, illegal immigrants.
I know, but okay, it's true you could kind of draw a parallel. But in Russia, I mean, they literally blame Jews for everything. It's the same thing that was in Germany before the Second World War. Oh, the reason the economy is bad, the Jews. The reason that this is bad, the Jews. The reason you lost your job, the Jews. The reason why your baby was, prematurely born, the Jews. You know what I mean? It's just, it's really insane. And it's so easy to entice people to that. I mean, Russia is the birthplace of the protocols of the Elders of Zion. You know what that is?
Yeah, it was that fake text that they made to really, like, badmouth Jewish people.
It wasn't a badmouth. It was basically a fake text that detailed the secret plans of Jews to control the world, and everybody was like, this is a real document. Like how there's a global conspiracy, don't you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a giant yarmulke on the earth, you just can't see it.
Yeah, there's a big question. How exactly did they manage to do this between being oppressed and stuffed in like gas chambers? That's what I want to know. Yeah. It's ridiculous. For people who are supposed to be trying to take over the world, they're having
they really suck at it.
I know, it's like they are literally the what are they? I'm trying to think. They're like the Cincinnati Bengals of taking over the world. They're like just bad. They cannot catch a break.
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, pretty bad. Anything else you want to say about this other than the fact that it's a complete embarrassment? If you're of Russian descent or in Russia right now,
feel ashamed.
Feel ashamed. I mean, for God's sakes.
It's like, I feel ashamed.
What are you reading? Like the 1930s?
And here's the whole thing. I just want to put this out there. It's like, I feel ashamed when my government tries to abolish gay marriage or tries to recriminalize smoking pot or doing all sorts of ridiculous other right-wing stuff. And down in America, you guys should feel ashamed for your government agreeing to torture and doing and revoking all of the rights. And every single country has to take, every single citizen of the world has to take some kind of responsibility for the actions of their government. And we really have to stand up and say, this is bull. Because if there was enough of an outrage, then those guys would have been fired. Hell, they would have been thrown out of Russia. It would be like, hey, how do you like it now? I would
put those motherfuckers in a gas chamber. Be like, hey, see how it feels for just like 5 minutes,
oh,
huh?
Oh, my goodness. Ben Stein is going to have a field day with you.
I know. I want to fuel Ben Stein's hatred because obviously he's got a big hard-on hatred for science.
Okay, here's what I want to say to you right now, Jake.
Okay.
Okay, just because I break the seal on the swear word can doesn't mean you get to pick all of that up out of there and go all crazy.
No, I can't.
Number two is... that's just hardcore. This is way too hardcore.
I didn't say I'd kill them. I just put them in those gas chambers. I'd make them. I'd seal them in. See how it feels.
Let's move on and never speak of this again.
All right. Actually, today's rant is something that's kind of been bothering me for a few days. I actually got a letter from one of the listeners who told me a bit of her story. She said that she'd been an atheist, and most of her family are. You know, fairly fundamentalist, very religious individuals. And they've finally accepted the fact that she's an atheist, but only accepted on the premise that they believe that, you know, at some point she's just going to grow out of it. And this leads me to today's rant, which is about, like, this concept that a lot of religious people have, that atheists are pretty much, like, elitist and very arrogant about their faithlessness. But really, honestly, I've been thinking about this for the past few days, and I cannot find something as arrogant and elitist as this condescending attitude that I keep getting from these religious individuals when I tell them that I don't believe. I mean, you ever go over and they sigh at you and they're like, oh, you. I mean, you'll get it one day. I mean, right now you don't get it, but you'll get it. You're going to feel the love of Jesus.
When you're old.
When you're older and you know better.
On your deathbed and you're terrified of ceasing to exist, that's when you'll accept
that's
Jesus
when
Christ.
There are no atheists in foxholes. And, okay, so point number one, I just hate this smug air of superiority. That's the number one. Like, just like, well, I'm just so much better knowing it. And you know what? I'm here to save you. No, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your soul. I'm just like, would you just leave me alone? I don't want you to help me. Okay, number two is this supreme confidence that they seem to have that their morality is somehow the best. Like, it's never been, you know, no one has ever had superior morality to my religion. It's impossible. We basically invented morality. Everybody else before us were greedy savages, but we came over there, we showed them the Lord, or we showed them Buddha, we showed them whatever else, and now ever the whole world is so much better because we're around. I'm just like, give me a fucking break. I'm just sick and tired of this air. I mean, maybe it's good for you, works for you, that's fine, that's great. Stop looking at me like I'm, you know, with these doughy eyes being like, huh, come on over. It's so good over here, it's so warm. I mean, they act, number three, as though I've never tasted any of their Kool-Aid that they're all drinking. You know what I mean? I don't want to go to your parties and drink that Kool-Aid and just suddenly say, hey, I'm going to be subservient to some God and I'm going to feel a whole lot better. And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to convert everybody and it's going to be a fantastic time. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it makes me want to be as arrogant and cruel as some of the atheists that I've talked to over the years. You know, the kind of guys that are always, you know, like all these religious people, they're so stupid, blah, blah, blah. And I'll admit, there are people like that. And they annoy me, too. I mean, what do you get off saying that? You're just a piece of shit saying it. But seriously, though, I mean, if I keep trying to get converted, I mean, I remember I was reading about one of this book from a friend of mine who wrote it. And he mentioned, like, there was this really kind of new age guru guy. He was talking about, like, how we were all evolving and going to the sixth, you know, evolution of mankind, and how he had recruited Odin and Thor, and they had given him their energies so that he would fulfill this great thing. I mean, he had this look in his eyes, like a blank stare, just being like, you're going to get it one day. You're going to totally get what I'm saying. I'd be like, no, I'm not. I didn't drink your Kool-Aid. I'm not crazy. Anyways, okay, enough of that rant. basically my premise is this. I'm really happy if you find some kind of meaning from in your life, from your religion. But it's like my love of cheesecake, okay? My friend Ryan here hates cheesecake.
It sucks.
I love it. But for me to suddenly think that he's completely wrong, that one day he'll get just how delicious cheesecake is the height of all hubris.
You know,
he doesn't like it. He's never going to like it. He doesn't need to taste it. He knows what it tastes like. He doesn't want any fucking cheesecake.
You know what's funny?
What?
You actually made fun of me the last time. I was like, you were like, want some cheesecake? And I'm like, I hate cheesecake. And like, you, sir, are a fool. Of course, it was all in good fun.
Oh, yeah, it's all in good fun. It's not like I said, only a fool has said the cheesecake is no good.
This is true. It's like someday you'll understand. Although I will say that people often do tell me that in regards to vegetables and fruits and so forth. And to them I say, ha!
Well, you know what? I don't want to get all preachy. But you know, one day you'll get vegetables, Ryan.
No.
All right, to finish up, I want to talk about the stupid person of the week. Now, it's still in the testing phase, so mm-hmm. I guess we'll see.
We still, have you gotten any responses back about it? I think it's too cruel. I think it's like mocking people is just a bit too like. It's not very good, atheist.
You know what, though? I mean, I kind of like it. And, you know, being good sometimes means you got to be a little honest. Mm-hmm. A little honest with people. And being like, well, that was a stupid thing to say. I'm not saying they're unredeemable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that they can't do something smart. But today, we have Daniel G. Jarrett, 21. Now, it could just be because he's young. All these people tend to be fairly young. But early Wednesday, he was, him and his, and I guess a woman, presumably his girlfriend, reported that three armed men invaded their house, tied them up, and locked them in the bathroom. So, when the police asked them what they had robbed, they said that they had stolen some electronic equipment. Okay, that seems to be relatively normal. Some guns.
Maybe you have a permit, then okay, whatever.
All right. And 4 pounds of recently harvested marijuana.
65 marijuana plants. And, yeah.
Yeah, 2 pounds of processed marijuana. And, yeah, 4 pounds of recently harvested marijuana. So they thought that it might be a good idea to sort of tell the sheriffs, presumably not knowing that marijuana is illegal and hoping to get their stash back. So kudos to you, Daniel. You're now going to do a significant amount of jail time, presumably about 10 to 20 years, for confessing that little nugget.
I'd just like to point out, though, that just in general, on a grander scale of thing, you know, we laugh at all this and everything like that, but it's pretty messed up that basically as soon as you're involved in any kind of illegal activity, you can no longer rely on turning to the cops for anything. Like, I mean, look at the idea. Remember when Boy George phoned the cops because he thought he was being robbed? And they got there, and they determined that he was not being robbed, and then they found cocaine residue on one of his desks, and they arrested him, and he ended up picking up garbage for a week. So it's like as soon as...
It's a week.
Hmm? I know, but
I mean, there's worse things than picking up garbage.
You know, all I'm saying is that it seems pretty crazy that as soon as you're involved in any kind of activity that is deemed against the law. And you and I both know that there's a lot of laws out there that are freaking stupid.
Oh, absolutely. You won't find any.
You can no longer rely on the cops to come over and save you. It's like, I'm trying to remember, there was another case where basically the woman called the cops, and the cops came, and they actually beat her up, hauled her off, and arrested her because she had some kind of other something or other.
Like she'd thank you for being specific.
I can't remember the details on it, but I mean, regardless of the scenario, if you call the cops, they should be there to help. And if it comes down to the fact that you are doing something else illegal, then sure, you know, you should get busted for it. But at the same time, I think that you know, you can't create this environment where people are afraid to call the police, because you've already got that kind of an environment in lots of slums and places like that.
Well, places are really bad, because solve this problem myself.
Exactly, where no one is willing to turn to the cops, because the cops continue to just basically either take advantage of them, turn the tables
on
them.
But look, you know what? Here's the thing. You're blaming the cops, but in a situation like this, imagine if they had just ignored, in the case of your mysterious woman whose crime is unknown because you can't remember the details.
Oh, yeah, that's
but they could. They can't let that slide. I'm not going to defend their actions of beating her, but at the same time, you know, moving back to any other number of crimes where all of a sudden they're faced with, okay, well, a crime has been committed, but mm-hmm. there's another crime in progress from this person who's now called me. I mean, what are you supposed to do? If you ignore one in favor of, you know, helping this individual, you're now in serious trouble and you're not doing your job.
Mm.
So, you know, I think that a lot of times these people are probably put in situations where they have really difficult decisions to make. And when you have a difficult decision to make, but there's a very clear rule about what you're supposed to do, even though that rule may not be the moral thing to do or the very good thing to do, you'll often default to it because sometimes the decisions are just too hard to make, too hard for one person to make, too much responsibility for a person to put on their shoulders and say, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing. I understand when someone can't. It sucks. But I can understand when somebody doesn't, because when you try to do the right thing, you usually get totally screwed. That's just how it rolls. And that's really a shame. And that's a wrap.